What's up, Nashville? Welcome to The Local Wave, Conversations with the Nashville Underground. I'm your host, Alex McWilliam. This week on the podcast, we've got a part two with my buddies in Pale Lungs. We had Aaron and Matt come through. Aaron is the new drummer. And fun fact, we've worked together at two different jobs. So talk a little bit about that. Did a little bit of a track-by-track breakdown of their new EP, Grow Towards the Sun, and just a little reminiscent about the old hardcore days, because Aaron's been in great bands such as Empathy and On Point. Before we get into it, go ahead and check out social media at The Local Wave, and if you want to become a financial supporter of The Local Wave, check out patreon.com/The Local Wave. I apologize for the technical difficulties and that this was out a little bit later than I'd liked, but life just happens sometimes. So anyway, let's get into it with this week's episode with Pale Lungs Part 2. Replace me with the salt from the sea. Bitter. Yeah, we're already going.
I knew it.
We're just walking right into it. Yeah, you gotta move it like.
I have to move it in here.
Yeah, just like so. Right. You're like 3, 4. And
okay,
yeah, that's good.
Okay,
that should be good.
Is this on? Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Matt's already just wanting to talk about gear.
Yeah, that's fine. We can talk about gear. I don't know a lot about gear, but
I don't know anything. I've even barely know enough about drums. Just like enough to like have conversations about it, but not like the nuances of it.
Right. There we go. This is my notebook with all of the different notes for the different podcasts. So I was like, okay, the G slab and all that. Like, I know I wrote it down. I wrote Pale Lungs Part 2. This time it's personal.
Is this the second episode you've had?
I had Julian Dente on for Youth twice.
Okay.
One of which he played a song.
The first one he played a song. The second one, cool. He put out an album, and we just did like a track-by-track breakdown of it. Which was, you know, because we obviously covered a lot of the history of your band in the first episode. And since you brought a new guy, we got a whole other history there too, so that kind of works out, but... Yeah, with him, it was like, well, we covered everything up to that point, so now we have this like whole new thing to talk about.
Lots,
and there's like some new stuff to probably, I mean, like, we've got some things. Like,
yeah, some stuff has happened between then and there, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So, if you guys want to scoot those in just a little bit, it's going to sound a little more NPR, like 2 or 3 inches
really
away,
good.
Like Alex is doing here.
Yeah, just like an ASMR video.
I'm afraid.
Hear the licking and the clap.
Get all the mouth sounds.
Yeah.
That's fine.
No worries.
You guys want whiskey, or I have
sure.
Oh, I love. What kind of whiskey do you have?
He has great whiskey.
Right, I do too. Single barrel.
Wait, no, I don't.
Is it the green? Like, yeah, I have. I just got that one for my birthday.
Nice. That's
yeah.
Gin, tequila, rum.
I would love some of that.
Okay.
Michter's.
Just one, straight up rocks.
With a glass. Yeah, with a glass. Some rocks.
With a glass.
with a glass. I don't want to palm it.
Could you please?
Yeah, I've grown past it.
I'll take one.
Two, three.
Thank you.
Three. Okay.
Four.
Yeah, I don't want to palm it either.
Yeah, yeah. We're all...
Typically...
Three glasses.
Yeah, just three glasses. You put whatever you feel in it. His shit's really
We don't want to smoke any weed. We saw... Did you see what happened to Elon Musk?
I did.
His stock went down.
Wait, really?
His or company or whatever. I don't know it. Like, I don't know exactly what happened.
Yeah, his
but
stock went down.
I saw
the Joe Rogan podcast.
I saw a clip of that was posted, and I watched it, and I was like, wow, this is hard to get through. Have you ever just, like...
It was the interview bad?
It was so uncomfortable. Yeah, it was
really?
Just... And, like, you can tell when somebody's just trying and scrambling to like put together the conversation. And that was Joe Rogan just being like, well, so you like dogs? I don't know. Like, well, give me something.
Because,
you know?
It's because someone like Elon Musk, there's like nothing else in his brain except for Tesla stuff. You know what I mean?
Feel like that dude is so
like
unrelated.
He's so. I feel like people that are that smart can only fit like the stuff.
You can only focus on like one thing. I mean, yeah.
They can't have a personality if they're that smart.
Completely unrelatable.
Yeah. It's a robot.
Oh, hey. Yeah, I feel that
he's
way.
A robot that smokes marijuana.
Well, he did once.
Now he does.
Yeah. And his stock went down. I've only had one guest smoke weed during the podcast.
Can you say who?
Yeah, it was G-Slab, the rapper.
Nice.
He came in, he just asked, and I didn't think Kyle would be cool with it. And Kyle was just like, yeah, whatever. And so he just had a roach, he did it.
Well, that's cool.
It was great.
Awesome.
So you could have done it if you wanted to.
I mean...
Pale Lung stock definitely would have gone down.
I mean, I do.
With all your Christian
I did this morning. And then after thinking, I was like, I don't, I'd be useless probably.
Also, Pale Lung stock is not at a place where it can go down.
So. Oh, yeah, our stock. Yeah. I just thought our conversation
is so low, it can
stocks.
Only go up no matter
yeah.
what.
Yeah.
Gotta look after those stocks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dang. So you're in the band now, Mr. Aaron Thomas, mm-hmm. who now, I have to introduce you.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, for the people. We've worked together.
We have.
Multiple times.
A couple places, yeah. I met you at...
I was actually just thinking about Target. When did I actually meet you?
I mean, that was... I had seen your shows, been around you, like in like Rockettown and stuff. And like, I guess I knew you as like an anchor dude.
Yeah.
Or something like, you know, like, and...
I was an anchor dude.
Yeah.
For a long time.
There's like legitimacy, I feel like, to that. Title in a way, but
yeah, yeah.
Like, and you know, I was like,
for the people who don't know, Anchor is the Anchor Fellowship Church,
yes. In also venue,
yes,
but like, yeah,
when I got there, it wasn't a venue anymore, I don't think.
No,
oh my gosh, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, go in your
actual
walk and talk.
Rocks.
Oh, that's thank awesome, you. Yeah, cheers.
God, he would, but yeah, it was. I started. I moved here for that church originally.
Really?
So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I did a ministry school here when I first moved here. Yeah.
I just know the origin story of Alex McWilliams.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, it was a cool place. I had been there a couple times, and I always knew it as, like, from the churches that I grew up in, it was, like, the cool church.
Yeah.
In a sense. You know, like...
It was definitely the cool church.
Yeah, definitely.
That's why I moved
but
here.
But, no, I think, I mean, I really met you at Target Starbucks... We worked with another guy, Drew Creel.
Shout out, Drew.
Hello, some
Drew
people Creel. Might know, yeah. And I remember when he hired you, and I was like, oh, okay, cool, Alex. I mean, I kind of know that dude. And with anyone or anybody that I would, like, make a social interaction with at that time, at that age of my life, I was just like, you like this band, right? Or you like this band.
I think
I asked you,
I was
like, you
operate.
Like Copeland? Yeah. Like, you like Copeland and you like Shai Hulud, right? Cool. I like those bands too.
I still like those bands.
We can be friends now.
Yeah. And that's like, we can just build off from there. Like, oh,
I'm starting to learn, and now that I'm 29, that I still do that, but also that only having bands in common with people doesn't make them friends.
Necessarily.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Definitely
like before it was like, oh, yeah, you like Shiloh and Copeland? Okay, we're friends now.
Yeah,
we're
little,
best friends.
Yeah.
It also introduces a strange like cognitive thing when I meet somebody who has similar interests in terms of bands and we don't get along. It's like, that can't happen. That's
right.
Not right,
right,
but it totally can.
Because you
duh.
Think that type of person
absolutely.
Acts a certain way or thinks a certain way. And
when really,
like,
that... It doesn't make any sense.
You know, right. I made that mistake, actually. I'll just bring this up. I made this mistake at a show, at our show. I've only played one show with Pale Lung so far. It was the Teenage Wrist show. And at that show, there was a guy, and he was this older dude. He was wearing a Mew shirt. I found that very interesting. I'm like, this is weird. Like, this is one of my favorite bands. Just like, and I have like a small like faction of like people here that also like that band. And they turned me on to them. And for some reason, at the end of like the show, I was like, hey, man, I love your shirt. And then after that, like downward spiral, that dude basically was like, oh, yeah, man, thanks, man. Hey, can I have a cigarette? And then just And then through, I was like, yeah, for sure. And I gave him one. And then throughout the next 30 minutes would just stand near me and my girlfriend trying to talk to us. I was like, I just wanted to compliment your shirt, man. It was, I don't really want to talk anymore. Like,
right.
It just got awkward. Yeah. I was like, ah, so yes, you do not make friends that way.
Yeah.
Every time.
Not
it's
every
like,
time.
But it was like that. That was the introduction. And then from there, it was just like, fucking just, work, right? Like, this job sucks.
We both work.
We both work.
You work too? Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you, when did you join Pale Lungs? Exactly. How did this happen?
Yeah, it was kind of at the end of like On Point. You know, I wasn't really doing anything anymore after that kind of fizzled out.
Because you've really kind of been like a hardcore journeyman, you know, yeah. Just in different Nashville hardcore bands.
For sure. And in a way, I haven't always wanted that to be the way it goes. But that's just like, you know, I guess when you start out in that sect or that group of people, it's kind of easy to stay there for a while, you know, and this has kind of been like a way for me to like kind of journey out, try something new. Like, I don't even think you know this, but like I was at a Crying Wolf with Tate and some other people, and Tate had just mentioned something about you know, like Pale Lungs needs a drummer, like he has like kind of an opening for a drummer. I'd seen him a couple times. I really enjoyed it. Really liked what I saw. I like didn't know you guys super well.
We met once or twice.
And once or twice. Yeah. I know I met Hayden a couple times at other shows, and he had seen my bands and I'd seen his, and I basically just, like, I didn't even have his number. And, like, I remember actually at Crying Wolf, too, Tate said something like, oh, I guess they need a new drummer. And, like, he pointed at me, like, as a joke, he, like, pointed at me. And I was like, ah. And then the next day I was like, hey, should I hit them up? And then I Facebook messaged Hayden. And I was just like, what's up, man? Like, I hear you've got an opening. I would, like, love to jam. I just see how it goes. And then we got together and then we wrote a new song in a day that's going to be like on the EP.
Mm-hmm. It's
a kind of just, or I mean, like, even though I put myself out there, it's like a relationship. Like, I legitimately just DM'd Hayden till I want to just hang out. I heard you're free now. So like,
right.
And yeah. And ever since then, like, and I've been trying to make a project happen in between there, and noticing the differences between this new project I was trying to make happen versus just hanging out with Pale Lungs and writing stuff, I was like, this is instantly working out much easier.
Yeah, the chemistry was definitely there.
Yeah.
We were meeting up at Julian's old place, and just kind of, it felt more like a hangout than anything else, which...
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't
was
even
come, a good sign for us.
I didn't even come prepared to like play their old stuff. I was like, guys, I honestly don't know it. Like, any, but like, what riffs do you have? What's on your mind? What
That's
are some melodies?
Ballsy.
Huh?
That's pretty ballsy. Just to show
yeah. It was awkward, dude.
Band you
it was
be
the
in.
Golf.
I straight up rolled up to Julian's house, and he was the one I hadn't talked to, and he was the first one there. I was like, so I'm here to be a part of your band.
What's up, bro?
cool house. Yeah, sick.
I feel like, I mean, you can hear the chemistry on the I just listened to the EP for the first time today
oh, nice.
In fall.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it sounds like it clicks instantly.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. It felt that way.
Yeah.
When writing.
It felt good. Yeah.
There was...
I mean, like, yeah, it just felt organically, like, put together. And I feel like I was kind of mentioning stuff about, like, even just, like, hey, a change in tone. Like, this is the kind of stuff I want to play. And like, and they were like, yeah, I guess like we want to do that too. We don't want to like, it doesn't have to just be like, and not to like speak on y'all sound on your behalf, but like, it doesn't have to be like
how it's
Midwestern
been.
Emo inspired.
Yeah,
just
or,
like,
or even how it's been, you know,
it doesn't have to. Yeah. It's like, let's change it up. And I guess everybody just felt like really open-minded around mm-hmm. that time. Yeah.
It was really good because anytime we were looking to make somewhat of a change sonically, and anytime creatively when we were jamming, we maybe like butt heads or like what do we want to do here? We would kind of put the instruments down a little bit and talk, and that always was productive, mm-hmm. which is really nice to be able to do because mm-hmm. we were all on the same page.
I was actually going to ask you, Matt. Obviously, we did this before. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, even then it kind of seemed like, I mean, not that you guys were kids, but it definitely felt like the first release of a band, whereas this kind of sounds more like you've got kind of a hold of what you want to do and kind of what's happened in the last year.
I feel like no matter where you are in life, if it's your first project with these people, there's going to be a sense of youngness to it.
Yeah.
Because the project in itself is young, you know? So yeah. I think that's where we were, and that is very accurate. But I felt we've grown. And
I heard potential on Strawberry. What's you know, that? When I heard potential on Strawberry,
yeah.
You know, like I feel like there's some releases totally. That you hear from bands and you're like, I'll follow this band. You yeah. know what I mean?
See
like whatever
goes,
their next stuff is going to be awesome. And that's kind of how I feel like
cool.
this EP is for you guys.
Thanks.
Or the last one was the potential and this one is kind of
the follow
fulfillment through. Of the potential.
I'm glad you feel that way.
I feel like timing wise, it might not be exactly where when we started off where we wanted to be, but we're putting out something that like is exactly the best next step that we can do. Like it's because it's not a full length. I think a full length was like in the talks at first, and then just like with the way we were writing, we didn't want to overexert ourselves. We didn't want to like just push out songs like just a band, you know, mm-hmm. like have some like happiness with just the small amount that we had done, you know,
yeah.
like I would love to take a lot like, and it's harder because like it's, you know, we're not a band that can like just, I guess, drop everything and go out to a cabin or something for like 2 weeks and write a whole record and like spend our, we're people that we have jobs and we're
yeah.
like, hey, what time this week? And you know, the bane of being in a mm-hmm. local band. I'm like, this is when we can do this. This is when we can write. And we want that writing process to be productive and like what to come out of it to be productive, not just like, you're like, all right, that song's done. On to the next. Like,
yeah.
no, like, polish it.
Wanted
polish
to be
it.
less cranking stuff out and more really refining what we had. Because I've always taken my time with writing. And I feel like a lot of the people in the band share that. But, and I know people who can just crank music out. And I respect
yeah.
that because that is impressive to me because I can't do it.
yeah. And like, not speak out of it, but like, I mean, there's things that are left out of the EP. I mean, like, there's a lot of, like, we had a lot of other ideas of songs or things we could push
oh, yeah.
out. I'm sure they'll be heard later on, mm-hmm. but, like,
stuff that I'm excited to put on
the next super excited
stuff,
about yeah. it, but, like, it's just going to take some more time.
Right.
You know, like,
was there anything that you guys have been, like, listening to or whatever that kind of maybe juice go into the direction that you're going to? Like, any
personally
particular
I...
new things that you've discovered?
I've been listening to a lot of different stuff. Stuff that is honestly most of the inspiration I took music-wise for this EP came from bands that sounded almost entirely nothing like us.
Hmm.
Like one of my main like inspirational draws was that band Big Thief. It is sonically completely different.
I saw them open for the National.
Oh my God, they're amazing. They're incredible. They're one of my favorites for sure. And yeah, I lyrically maybe melody wise, I feel like I drew from that a good bit and some guitar work. I did a lot of finger picking, I feel like, on this.
Yeah, especially on the Medicine, the first
mm-hmm.
track.
Yeah.
yeah. That's
yeah.
very different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited. I think that
as a first song is super bold. And,
thank you.
You know, like, because it would, I felt like it showed a lot of complexity, you know, like both in obviously the fact you're finger picking it, it's an acoustic song, but also in the melody choices.
Yeah, I think in the decision to make that the first song, I kind of wanted to push the fact that we are changing, you know, and not kind of challenge the listener to not expect the same thing as they've heard in the past. And yeah. And that not to speak too definitively, but that is, I believe, my favorite song that I've written.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm real proud of that one.
It's a That's good cool. one. And it comes back. Like, it's like a thematic
kind yeah.
of thing.
Yeah, we kind of return to it.
Yeah.
In the record, yeah. It's fun.
Well, I'll have to go back and listen
yeah.
to it again.
Yeah. Again.
I feel like, I mean, like, I feel like I was saying, too, like, about changing things, like, sonically. We're just open. It wasn't necessarily like that there was, like, particular bands or artists. I think we're all interested in other stuff, like, outside of what we like. And I think, I guess, we're not just one of those... We're not trying to be one of those bands, I guess, that says this is what we like.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, oh, we want to make a band that sounds like this. And it's like, you just gotta, like... We're just trying to find our own niche.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of and diversity. It's so hard to do. And I'm not saying we have done that or like we can't be compared to something else, but like I think we're going to continue just from here
mm-hmm.
trying to find what do we even sound like?
Yeah.
Not like what do we like want to sound like? What do we sound like, you know,
I think,
as individuals and what does that make up?
Right.
For?
I think I've heard a lot of people when talking about the creative process in that same vein, they would refrain from listening to music entirely during their own writing process to keep from being too influenced by one thing. And for me, I kind of, if I'm not like,
oh, I go against that.
Yeah. I mean,
it's something I get what you're saying though.
That's definitely not what I've done. I understand that method, but
let whatever
I,
inspire you and inspire mm-hmm.
But it sounds
you,
like totally. You're,
I choose to take on as much as I can rather than one thing.
It sounds know? Like yeah. though you're taking, you're not like, I think a lot of people do that because they don't want to like maybe their favorite type of music is the type of music that they're writing, you know, like
yes.
that particular genre. So it's like, they don't want to write. If you write,
it's a self-fulfilling
emo music,
prophecy.
You don't
want to
write.
My favorite band is
right.
this. Oh, okay. Your fans know that that's your favorite band. Okay,
they're
so
gonna listen
they're going to say that, oh, well, this band, yeah, they're just trying to rip off this band.
Right.
They're listening for it. And if it's...
Yeah.
And my favorite band at currently happens to not sound much like us, so that...
Yeah.
It is...
Right. I think listening to yeah. other... creative stuff is inspiration mm-hmm. that is kind of opposite or different than your band is like perfect, you know,
yeah.
you can, because obviously you can take it from anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I love doing it that way.
I think Tate, going back to talking about Tate, is the person that has been mentioned most on this podcast because I used to produce so many bands that
yeah.
I
was a busy boy.
Yeah. How was working with him on the CP?
Really good.
It's been great.
This,
yeah,
he
really
just
good.
Kind of just got into that
yeah.
new space.
That new space yeah. is great.
Oh yeah. yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I worked with him before. And
I mean, it's like semi recent. It's not like new, but
What do you mean?
Like him being in the space isn't like he's been
oh,
in
yeah,
for,
yeah.
for a little while, but it's relatively new.
Mm-hmm.
And it was good. It was like me and him have a chemistry. I think we all ended up having like a chemistry and like working together super well. It's hard to speak to, like remember, like, cause it did happen. It did happen really quick.
It was quick.
It was a quick, we and
how many days were you in the studio?
We did. We knocked out drums
in
one day.
In one day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which
was super fun.
Was
and
wild.
It was an all day event and I was super down for that. I mean, I play on four songs and I knew I could do that in a day. And we had demoed stuff in our practice space. So I came mentally prepared. And there's like little changes that happened in the studio, but like I wanted to be as like productive as possible the time that we had. So I was like, yeah, dude, like
it
I
sounds...
had 2 days at first, but I was like, no, dude, I can knock this out in a day. Let
it
me
sounds
do that.
Super concise.
Yeah.
You know, like it sounds like you really had it going into it.
You did, yeah. It was also nice because
we had like a string of like 5 days,
something like that.
String of 5 days, and the only thing we had to come back later for, I think, we're just polishing up like vocal
mm-hmm.
stuff and coming back to that. And
which
just,
was nice because,
but we were able to like throw people in there, like I mean, we even have
Cole, yeah, Nicholas Wall, shout out,
synth, some keys, and you know, like I think we hit him up that week,
mm-hmm.
like. Coming and make something, and he did some awesome shit.
Yeah, he is incredible, and he is all over Kamori B, which is out right now. Yeah.
I had to study how to say that word. I had to like listen to it. Oh, yeah. Like, I was like just to figure out how to say the word.
Yeah. No, yeah. He definitely brought that song to life.
Tell me about that song, since that is going to be the only song that's out while the podcast.
Mm-hmm. This airs. Yeah. That was actually a more collaborative song in the sense of the bare bones of it. Hayden brought that one to the table originally, and then it kind of underwent the, you know, everybody putting their own spin on it. Me obviously like making the lyrics to where I was comfortable with them, because, you know, I'd be the one, you know, performing them. And
did he write the lyrics?
He wrote the original song, yeah. And we got together and we did some co-writes with him and myself. And then while he was on tour, actually Micah McCaslin lives over at Schematic Studios, and we did some co-writes with her as well, just about melodies and some lyrical stuff. And she was super helpful. And yeah, that song I think took the longest to write, maybe. But I'm really happy with how it came out.
Yeah. Maybe. I cannot remember. But, like, there were a couple different versions of it in the past that you guys had worked on. And I remember spending a couple days working on it with y'all. Yeah, it was like a couple day process of, like, because there were some, like, definitely set ideas for it already.
Yeah.
That I think when I joined, you know, like, iPhone, like, recordings of, like, past versions of the song. And then just reworking that.
We ended up making
it like a, just like this like sweet, washy version of it.
Mm-hmm. I feel
it's
like
very, it's it, it, I don't know. I don't want to say this without sounding cheesy. It sounds like your toes are in the sand at the start of that song.
Yeah.
I think from rough
draft to final product, that song underwent the most change.
Yes.
In another way to say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
It really felt... That's cool, though, but it feels like, to me, that kind of, out of all the songs, it seems like the perfect song to put out first, because it kind of bridges the gap a little bit. Because the chorus, I felt like I wrote, like, it's a classic Pale Lungs chorus. I don't know what a classic Pale Lungs chorus sounds
interesting
like,
that
but
you say
I feel
that.
Like because
I don't feel that way, actually.
It's interesting that you say that, because that was my hesitation to putting that song out first. I was like, man, because I had initially felt this song sounds drastically different from previous stuff that we've released.
It's poppy.
It felt poppy.
Yeah.
You know, it felt like a pop song.
I mean, I felt like a song like My Window is a pretty catchy chorus. You know, like I feel like that isn't abnormal for you guys.
True. Yeah. I guess that's not terribly far from our realm. But yeah, no, it after deciding to release that and hearing the masters back, it was like it felt right.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm happy with how it's gone.
Yeah.
So I guess since there's only a few songs on the record, we can just kind of do a track by track thing. I hadn't really expected to do this, but why not? You know.
Sure.
Absolutely.
So tell me about "Grow Towards the Sun."
Okay. "Grow Towards the Sun" is the title track, and that song deals with a lot of honestly, stuff that we talked about on the last podcast, but just growing up in a religious environment, and not to say that it is it's damaging generally, but in some cases how that could end up damaging you as you transition into adulthood, and how you learn to figure stuff out and, just figure out life.
I love the line, "What if we're already the decent people we wanted to become?"
That's kind of
such a cool
the one line that encapsulates what I was going for with that song. Because at least in my experience, growing up in a religious environment or in churches and various different ones, a lot of what was hammered out and taught to you was that without what they're teaching, without this thing that you're searching after, you're not a good person.
Yeah, it's burdensome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It without this thing that you strive for, you're not enough. And that's kind of what I was questioning, I guess. I'm not saying that I know everything, obviously. I don't think anybody does. But that's what I got out of coming past that and growing out of it.
I had a very similar experience when I was when I went on Warped Tour. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time I'd been outside of religion for like as any significant period of time, really.
Yeah.
And because I was gone for the whole summer, and I met all these people that were so awesome and were like such good people,
and
such more people,
Christians.
And they don't give a fuck about God.
No,
like, you know, like,
not,
like,
yeah.
You know, it's, like, it's, I mean, there was a range, obviously, yeah. But yeah, like, it, and I was like, what, how does this possible?
It
you
becomes,
know what I mean?
Yeah. And it can become confusing coming out of it, especially like, I mean, I understand that. I like coming out of like, churches and stuff or whatever, you just start like putting your feet in other waters, and you're just like, it's not so bad. Like, mm-hmm. why is everyone saying this is so bad? It's not that bad. I have gay friends. They seem fine. Why do I have to believe what they are destined for, or that they're not as good as whatever I am? Like,
right.
It just, you start going to the other side or whatever. You start like, I don't know. It's like, it can be like religiously shocking.
Curtain.
It can be culturally shocking to like, really just know that like you've been taught a level of fear for like way too long in your own comfort zone in a very religious way.
Yeah.
And it can really stunt people's growth.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, believe whatever you want, but it's important to know that like there's a lot of people and they believe like a lot of different things than you sometimes.
I think,
and there's
at the very core of it, that's what it's about, you
yeah.
know? And I would never tell somebody who is religious that they're wrong, because there was a time in my life where that's all I had, and that's where I found a lot of my solace. And I know a lot of people who are very religious and devout, and they get a lot out of it, and I think that's a beautiful thing in itself. But for me, it wasn't right, and I think that's something to come to terms with, is that it's not right for everybody. You
gotta
know?
Speak your truth, bro.
Yeah.
Gotta speak your truth, bro.
Musically, I felt like that one was a pretty... I don't know. Felt to me like a pretty big departure for you guys. Like,
did you
tried
feel that
a
way?
Lot of new stuff. I don't know. That's
I, me. Yeah. I think we looked at this in a sort of a numbers game, because in the past we had written like 5 and 6 minute songs, and that was the one song on this record that was long, like the previous songs had been, and all the other ones we had made an attempt to shorten a little bit, and
I think we kind of necessarily wrote that long.
Mm-hmm.
I think we wrote everything like in kind of like, I don't know. We were mentally aware of like how long or how not long we wanted to make a song.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I think that was maybe like one of the last songs. I think that was the last song we really worked on, was that one. And there's this kind of part to it where we go, you know, like, let's make it long. Like,
yeah, who cares?
We're not done with it yet. Like,
yeah.
Let's just, we've cut back the songs a little bit. We made them a little approachable. But yeah, let's make this one.
Let's just indulge
this
on
this. Yeah,
one.
Let's indulge and make it 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's, I mean, it's the title yeah. track. I mean, this point lyrically seems like it's one that obviously it's the most important, because you're naming the whole EP after it. You know?
Yeah, it's the one that I felt it's nice to. And Grow Towards the Sun just kind of felt like it kind of encapsulated a lot of it, you know? It was another nice sentiment to hold
right.
while listening to the entire record, you know?
Yep.
So, Landor, is that how you say it?
Yeah. It's yeah, Landor, one. That's named after a street. Funny enough, that's another Hayden contribution. Yeah.
Boy,
you wouldn't believe it.
You yeah. wouldn't believe it.
Hey, dude, can
just looking at
something.
Him.
Yeah, no, Landor was written in the last batch of songs, and it hadn't made it on onto Strawberry, and we sat on it for a while. We had been playing it live, and we just got to the point where we were like, you know, we like this. Let's keep working on it, and we sort of reimagined it when Aaron came to the table, and we brought some new stuff
yeah.
to it, and...
We kind of reshaped it to fit like what everything else was sounding like so far.
In a way. And we got to where we were really comfortable with it and really happy with how it was sounding. And we're like, yeah, let's include this.
Yeah. I was trying
we'll include it.
No. It's one of my favorites. Yeah.
No, it's a good one.
It's been a fun one to play.
Lyrically, it kind of seemed like a little bit, it seemed like you're kind of dealing with some guilt in this song.
Yeah. Well, the Hayden contribution and when he would write and bring stuff to the table, he knows that I want to feel an attachment to the song as well. So whenever that sort of thing happens, we talk about it and talk in depth, and not to speak too in depth on Hayden's contribution, 'cause he's not here obviously right now. But that was definitely about some family stuff to where he wanted to like work past. Mm. And that was his, his artful outcome of some stuff that he was feeling.
It's got to, I remember when I wrote the first Overwatcher EP, there was a lot of stuff on there that I didn't write, like mm-hmm. Lyrically. And that's got to be, it felt weird to me to do that. And I never liked those songs as much, like, because I didn't write them. And so it felt, I don't know. So totally. But it seems like you're able to, you know, pull off the Patrick Stump and Pete Wentz.
Well, in this,
I mean, there's something to that too. I mean, it's also like, I feel like sometimes in bands that are very communicative and we're all kind of putting something together. I mean, it's like, you know, like it can either sometimes become like the front man's, I mean, using the band as a platform to just talk about their shit.
Which
or
is not
the whole band is coming
yeah.
together to, like, in this sense, I feel like it's more of like, yeah. you want to, you know, the guitar player doesn't want to sing this song, but has like ideas. And
has something to say.
And has something to say. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, put that up.
It seems like you guys are all kind of collective.
Yeah.
Speaking.
And it's felt good. And it's obviously been a challenge for myself being a writer and being obviously the person in this band that is vocalizing that on stage and on the record. But Hayden and I are so close and we've been playing music together for years and years now, and so like his song is my song, vice versa, kind of thing, you know. It was something to get past at first, and we've worked with it together, and I sing those songs the same way I sing the ones that I write.
Cool.
And that's been a cool thing to come to.
The last song, Settle In, is my favorite song on the whole EP.
I think it's mine, too. Yeah. That's the first one we wrote together.
Mm-hmm.
That day when we all jammed.
Those pitch harmonics.
Yeah.
That got me.
Yeah?
I was like, oh, this is tight.
Yeah.
Glad you think so.
It's fun. That harmony at the end is my favorite.
Oh, yeah,
the
yeah.
very end. That was a surprise to me. I was like, ooh.
So that one kind of seemed like it was more about like going on tour potentially.
Honestly,
classic tour song.
It's funny.
Tour is hard.
It's funny. A lot of my personal lyrical contributions were written outside of the context of a song. They were written in notebooks while we were on tour or just getting home from tour, and when putting those to music, that presented a challenge, but I'm happy with how it turned out, you know. That is very much the trials and tribulations of being on the road, seeing a different set of people, a different city every day, and missing important things at home and all sorts of stuff, you know.
And you've done some touring yourself, Aaron.
Lightly so, yeah. Not as much, but like, I mean, I have done some touring.
Yeah.
We were talking about earlier when we were just hanging out. He's like, on point ever do any touring? And it was just like, we did two very botched weekend runs and that was it. And I've toured with Orthodox, really fully just once, and then some other weekend-ish stuff as well.
How stoked are you to do an indie rock tour?
I'm very excited. I mean, I'm
you're not going to hear a single breakdown at all day.
Well, I don't know our local support. You might be surprised.
Yeah. You've heard some breakdowns.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, those Midwest. I don't. There could be some.
We've heard some breakdowns.
Yeah, I'm sure you have. We have all like. When I went on Orthodox, there was straight up like metal, some local metal band with scrims.
Ooh.
That was opening up the show.
Ooh, yikes.
For our, yeah, very rough set tour. They were the local headliner, the local band playing before us with scrims.
Nice.
So.
How do you guys know Runaway Brother, the band you're going to tour with?
We, I think it was our last tour. One of our more recent tours, we had a stop in Cleveland, and we ended up meeting the drummer, I believe, of Runaway Brother. Went out to Corky's in Cleveland. Shout out Corky's. And did some karaoke and, you know, had a good time. But, yeah.
Wait, Corky's?
I think that's the name of it, Corky's.
Like the barbecue place? Or is this a different establishment?
I'm sure it's different.
Oh, okay.
Being in Cleveland and all.
Like the movie?
The movie? No. It was, no, it was fun. We had a good time. But, yeah, we ended up just making pals, and AJ Grunewald, shout out Bogues, is our agent, and he sort of organized that. And yeah, I'm really excited to get to know them better.
And then you got the album release show, which I'm super stoked about.
Yeah.
With Cash Basket. Who else is on it?
Faith Holt.
That's cool. Yeah. I've never listened to her.
Oh my gosh, you should. Awesome. Yeah, really, really good.
Is she local?
Mm-hmm.
Flying her out.
Speaking of someone who can write a song every day, fucking Cash Basket, that dude.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Luke?
Who? Yeah, Luke can write a song.
Luke, how do you say his name, Rinnerin?
Yeah. I think even when we did the podcast in the intro, I was like, Luke Granerud?
What's funny is everyone that's ever been like, how do you say your name, Granerud? Just says it right. You got it. You got
it. Yeah. So
say it with some conviction. You got it.
So, Matt, what do you think Aaron has brought to the band since he's joined?
Oh, gosh.
You better be fucking careful.
A lot, honestly. I've really enjoyed a new energy, you know?
I'll allow it.
No, seriously. Like, I've really enjoyed writing with you. It's been great. It has been a very like adult process. I feel like we've like in making this record.
I am the oldest one in the band.
Yeah, it's true.
We, so. Band dad.
Yeah,
brought on a grandpa.
Aaron, band dad,
take care of us over here. No, it's been great, and I really really appreciate his musical influence and like the musical stuff that he brings to the table. It's been great.
How do you think you guys have grown in the like between these two like personally? Like
between these two releases?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
How I've old done, are you?
I'm 24 now.
Dang. Yeah.
Dang.
So you're starting to get into to the good stuff.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Dude, my back just hurts now.
Yeah.
I'm not old. I'm 26, but it's like...
Right,
the back pain definitely influences
I'm out of
music.
Breath. Yeah. I'm out of breath.
My
I have to stop smoking.
All the time.
Like, I can't just be like, it doesn't matter. Like, it sucks. It's bad.
We all die. It's fine.
Yeah. No.
That was like the college mindset. I was like, I can smoke. It's all right.
Yes. Like, this used to be, yeah, I don't know. I had a friend who would, a friend of mine who would always be like, it's like, this shit used to be classy back in the day. You know, what happened? I'm like, well.
Used to smoke on airplanes. It's fine.
And then everyone died of lung
doctors
cancer.
Happened, I guess.
Science, yeah. You know, whatever.
So they were the one endorsing it at the
That's
time.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
It's fucked up.
Hypocrites.
Yeah. Honestly.
So again, back to personal growth.
Yeah. No, it's been a lot. I've in recent days have been spending a lot of time like by myself and kind of working on myself and growing, and that's been great because for as long as I can remember, I've lived with, you know, a bunch of my best friends, which was fantastic and wonderful, but like there's something to be said for having a solace and a sanctuary.
No pun intended.
Did you
bang
just
S- sanctuaries. No,
you're,
but yeah,
you're docked.
That part has been trying, and you know, also I grew out a lot out of it. Yeah, it's, well, just it's,
when you're with friends and you're hanging out and you're, you kind of just adopt whatever identity the group needs you to have, or like what everyone else is doing. So especially I remember 24, 25, like that, doing that kind of stuff and getting out on your own, trying to figure out like who the hell is Matt even, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
And it's outside, it's funny because you think you know that. You always think you know, and then you start spending some actual real time by yourself, and you're like, "Oh man, I'm getting to know myself all over again." And that's a really interesting thing to do.
Just wait till you turn 29, for buy sure. some docs, and start a goth phase. It's crazy.
Oh my god, I can't wait.
That's what I've been doing all year.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
What about you, Aaron?
About what? What was the question?
Personal
again?
Growth.
Personal
you know,
growth.
Over
yeah,
the last
I mean.
Year.
I
mean, you don't have an album to go in between, but I mean, since
no,
the on point
but
release,
I mean,
you know?
Like, it's been a lot, like, especially like, it's hard to explain. I feel like in this point in my life, I've bounced around a lot. I've done some, like, I think even one of the times when I worked with you at Kimberton was a very telling or like helpful part of my life. I quit a job at a restaurant that I worked at to work at Kimberton. For some reason, I guess that I thought that change of pace of like 9 to 5, having weekends off, there was something I'd like about it or would find useful or helpful or something. It was totally not for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I just even that experience, that's just an example, but like that experience was like, wow, okay, this is like, I want to work with my hands, even. I want to do stuff. There's gotta like the anxiety. I here's the thing. I mean, you work there too. I watched the entire series of Mad Men.
I did too.
Working at Kimberton, plus plenty
I watched
of movies.
West Wing.
Yeah, and then I would come home and I'd be like, do I keep watching Mad Men? There was no separation,
right? Right.
You know, like I had a job that was way too easy that paid me just enough to live on, and I was like, that's so not satisfying.
Yeah.
You know, like not that I have no idea of what a career or
it
whatever.
It kind
of
seems
like I struggled for a long time with like what I want to do career wise, or if I wanted to keep playing music, or if I wanted to stop playing music. Traveling with Orthodox was really helpful because I liked playing Orthodox. I love my friends in that band. I back that band fully. But, you know, it's a straight edge, very heavy hardcore band. And I have an affinity for that style. But I don't identify with it. So I was never going to join the band. It was never going to, like... So, at you know, certain points of the tour, I'm like what am I doing? Like, right. You know, like... Even in this, right now, what I'm doing with them, we haven't even touched the road, really. The project or whatever we've done, I'm like, this makes more sense.
Yeah.
You know, this good. Just... I don't know if it's the thing... You know, it's, you know, it's...
He's going to quit now. That's what he's telling you.
What? Look, no. I'm flaky is all I'm saying. but, you know, it feels better. And, like, even, you know, like, I got a good relationship now. And that even, I'm like, shit. Like, I've had relationships
There's
in the
a
past.
Lot of roots being put down right now.
Yeah, you can, like, it's the... I mean, it's the same equivalent, like, to a lot of stuff. And you can make this metaphor of like really how like bands or jobs are just like relationships and stuff. And you can be in a shitty relationship for a long time and not know that you're in that shitty relationship and just go, well, I guess this is just the way things are. But before you start changing them, or once you start changing things, you go, it's hard. It's not easy. It's awkward, like going to their house just to practice. But if you walk away and you got out of your comfort zone just a little bit, it's good for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even if you learned that sucked, even if I had gone to their house and been like, it was awkward and I like don't vibe and they're making jokes and I'm not in on any of them, I'm just, or whatever, and I walk away, I'm just like, well, I don't know. I did it.
Yeah.
That's
got out of your comfort zone.
Yeah. It's
I mean, that seems like this whole to kind of bring it full circle. It's kind of seems like what this whole process has been about.
I was about to say, you had asked something that Aaron brought to the table, and inadvertently Aaron brought us out of our own comfort zone. You know, we introduced a new human into this writing thing that we do.
What
this artistic
are
thing.
You talking about?
Human, yes, I am human. No, yeah, gotcha. And that was very that was a lot. And I guess we didn't really even think much about that because we had an opening, but
yeah,
and a necessity. But it definitely, just having a new person with us, we were on our toes a bit.
Mm.
And I think it's good to always be on your toes a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess, I mean, you've answered the questions that I always ask at the end. Matt, you have an Aaron, so I guess I can ask them to you. And if you have a new answer, Matt, you can go ahead and say it. But the first question being, Aaron, what's your biggest fan moment that you've ever had? Like, you
actually,
as a fan.
I have a really good one.
Yeah, give it to
me. I have a really good one. And I've told a couple of people this story before. This is back when I was like 12 or 13. My dad, he was really big in like the bluegrass scene. Like, I grew up in like a musician family. He grew up around the Del McCurry Band. And like, they had all been really good friends. I don't know who would ever... who would listen to this podcast would know about them, but they're very big in the bluegrass world, like headline festivals and stuff like that. And they have pickin' parties and stuff like that.
Pickin' parties.
Pickin' parties, baby.
Love that.
Yes. And two people, my dad was going to one, and, you know, our family would go, and two people were at this party of great notoriety. One, I forget her last name, Sarah... from Nickel Creek was there.
Yeah.
And then also John Paul Jones from Led Zeppelin was fucking there. And I met him and I got to hang out with him for a minute as a 13-year-old who loved classic rock.
Yeah.
Like, who loved, I mean, I still love Led Zeppelin to this day.
Yeah.
Huge inspiration. He signed my poster.
Oh my God.
He even talked to me about the Led Zeppelin plane. Like, he was like, just like talking about it. He said his favorite record was, he thought their favorite record as a band was Physical Graffiti, and just hearing that was amazing. I'm not making this up. I had an acoustic guitar in my hand, and I started playing Whole Lot of Love,
Jesus.
And that motherfucker joined in with me.
Oh my God.
Just to make a kid happy that day.
I feel like I am fanning out over your fan experience.
Yeah,
it was a lot. Even as an adult, it's hard for me. It's hard for me to like,
Led Zeppelin,
it's hard for me to piece that together and like, I guess just tell people. I'm like, yeah, that was like a crazy thing that happened. Right. Like, it's the me, like, actually, like, remembering that I was playing, like, a little acoustic guitar and just going, ba-bam, 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 like, and then he had, like, an upright bass and was, like, playing it, too, and people were watching me, and I was...
This is like saying you met a god.
You know what I mean?
Definitely. I actually met him twice. In that time...
You met God twice?
Yeah. Well, that's part of it. You know, that's why you only get to meet him once, because the first time was amazing, and then that happened. And there was, like, another pick-in party, I think, a couple months after that, and he was there, too. And at the first one, he was having a lot of fun. There were a lot of people there, and a lot of people had talked to him, and he was in a great mood, and he was happy to kind of talk to people and be around and just probably be a face to be seen.
Right.
And then the second time... I didn't really want to talk to him because I could tell he was a little irritable. Not irritable like in a bat, but just as probably being a person he is.
Right.
And people wanting to
talk to him and be around.
Wanting something from you.
John Paul Jones, shout out Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
I should have plugged that in.
Shout out John Paul Jones, the homie.
Truly insane.
Yeah,
that's wild.
I'm actually was looking forward to this just so I could God. Fuck.
Yeah. I like want to throw up.
Yeah,
you got to do that.
It's
I'm gonna literally call my best friend like probably the day or tomorrow, who is one, the biggest Led Zeppelin fan I know, yeah. and just be
don't
like,
you, and I still
I know
am.
This whole story.
Yeah. It's yeah. I don't think people are gonna believe me, but you know it doesn't matter.
God, you believe
that's fucking
yeah.
sick.
I don't care.
Yeah, that's insane.
So that's mine.
Well, fuck it.
I might have no. That's
I don't want to hear if you have another.
Can't
one
top it.
Yeah, yeah. It's like
oh, this time I met Max Bemis.
Yeah,
who gives
right,
a shit?
Right.
Oh
my God.
Yeah,
I did meet Max Bemis. I didn't actually meet him, but I walked.
Lots of respect.
Well, then I have a story.
When
for
I was
you.
On tour, I walked. I was in New York City, and I was walking in Times Square. And apparently they were playing like right at some venue, like right there. And I crossed a crosswalk and he just walked right by me. And I just turned around and still walking, just went, hi, Max. And he just, I just saw him turn around and go, what? What? And he didn't even notice. And I just had to keep walking because it's New York and you get swallowed up.
Yeah.
To back up a little bit, my dad met John Paul Jones the night before. They were at some gig in town. And John Paul Jones is there to hang out with the Del McCurry family. And just like, you know, the Del McCurry family had like, John Paul Jones or the Led Zeppelin people flew out the Del McCurry family. Because this was in 2007 when they had one reunion show and John Bonham's son played drums to piece things together. My dad met him the night before the picking party. And he didn't know who he was. And my dad is just a nice guy and just like went up and shook his hand. And he was like, hey, how's it going? My name's Steve. Like, you know, I'm a fiddle player, like whatever. Like, what do you do? He's like, oh, I'm a bass player. Like, and my dad's response was, I like bass players.
You should have said, I am the bass player.
But he definitely had a surprise. He was to tell me the next day, he's like, hey, you know, you're going to see tonight. And yeah,
that's crazy.
So, that's hilarious.
Cool.
Do you have anything, Matt? Is there anybody you've met
since
the last time we talked that you've gone crazy about?
I don't think so.
No?
I can't top that.
Well, it's not even about... You know what? I also feel like, too... I mean, that was crazy. That was truly a moment. And I feel like... A lot of us too, you start playing music for a while. I mean, like, I think the people I would fanboy out over now would not be maybe like other people would like expect.
Yeah.
But like certain like people, like in, it's like a, it's not like, I don't know. I'm not going to like freak out, I guess, if I like see Hayley Williams in Nashville, because of course she's in Nashville.
Right.
That's like, where she lives. You know?
Is it?
I don't know.
It is.
Is it? Okay. I don't know.
I follow her on Instagram.
I guess, like,
but you also have to, like, it's like politics, right? Too. You kind of don't want to be
well,
the
that's
guy.
Why
you, you don't always want to be the guy that's like, you want to be like, I mean, I'm yeah, of course I met that person. I'm cool too.
Right.
Like, why would
I'm
I not
cool
meet that
too.
Person?
It's
yeah.
Fine.
Like,
I definitely, I still appreciate when I run into somebody that I respect. But
oh,
I also have to realize that Nashville is a place where a lot of people live.
I know.
Yeah.
And a lot of those people are people that I look up to. So, you know, I can't say that I've met anybody crazy in the past year, but, yeah, that is wild.
I saw
quite the story.
I saw Josh Brolin at my restaurant right after he had done Deadpool and Thanos.
Oh, nice.
And that dude looks exactly like you think that dude would look. Affliction t-shirt, just ripped, just like...
I started
scary.
This podcast so I could just fan out over you guys because I love your music and I don't care.
Love you.
I don't give a fuck. So, I mean, the last question I ask is what you're most proud of. And that can be both people answered either creatively or personally, whatever, however you want to answer it. And again, Matt, you've also answered this question before, but
I guess
you now
I can
have
start
new things to be proud of.
Yeah,
because I think the way that this record has coincided with my own personal growth, I feel very good about.
Yeah.
I feel like there are aspects of this record that directly correlate with that growth. and it feels good. And I think that's my answer.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
What about you, Aaron?
It's a good one. Most proud of. Shit. I mean, I am. It's hard to say what I'm most proud of. I mean, it's and there's times too where I'm like, I feel, not to like undersell, like, you know, what we did or anything. I am very proud of it. I'm very proud of that a lot. You know, in all honesty, I'm very proud of this EP, and not just for the sake of, like, I guess the podcast, because it's kind of what it's about. I am very proud of it, especially it being my first kind of endeavor into a very different style of music.
Yeah.
And just kind of as like a light shout out, I'm very proud of you know, what I did with my friends in On Point.
As you
just
should.
As absolutely. Like a light shout as out. Just yeah, that was a really fun time in my life. It honestly kept me moving out of Nashville. Back then I was going to move to Portland, Oregon at a certain point when I like gotten out of college and stuff. And I kind of had this like excess of freedom just going on in my brain. I was like, it's time to go, like, change. Just like typical, like early 20-year-old shit. Like,
that's what I did. I now live in Nashville.
And hey, you know, like, I mean, maybe if I did, that would have been a cool move, but like, I was playing in this band, and at the time it was like a joke band, and in some ways it always lightly remained not a joke, but just a fucking fun thing.
It was a tongue
in cheek. It's a fun thing. Yeah. You don't have to take yourself too seriously. I'll say that I'm a legitimate fan of On Point.
Yeah. As am I. I have done a whole podcast about it on Point. It was awesome.
I don't know.
You're right to be proud of
that. It might happen again.
No,
you know,
well,
I don't know.
It should be, and I hope it does. Because the anti
because we do. I don't
sick.
Know. Like, we broke up, but and like, well, we made posters, and one of them's in my room. This is like the last something.
Yeah,
but I was like, you know, I might do this again. I even said that at the show. I think I was like, if we're gonna play a show, we're gonna play a fucking show.
Right, right.
Even if nobody's there,
you should.
And I like having that mentality on a project. I mean, even. I don't know. Like,
I feel like there's no way On Point could break up because, again, like, it's a band. It not that you didn't take it seriously, but you kind of just, it was all about not taking it so seriously. Mm-hmm. So even a breakup, it's like, how can you even take
that
really
was the
seriously?
Spirit of the band in itself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
totally.
I don't know. Maybe you'll just have to play an On Point. You guys should do a Local Wave exclusive live show in the Tiny Tape room.
In this very room.
That would sound very ridiculous.
Anyway, well, that's it, guys. Yeah, thanks for coming through.
Thanks for having
us.
The
EP.
Yeah,
can't wait
you.
To go to the show. The whole nine. I'm
was
I
close enough to the
guys.
Mic? I got kind of lax throughout.
A little
I think
late now.
We'll be okay.
Yeah,
that's Kyle's problem to worry about. And again, he isn't here, so no more cut it, Kyle. But anyway,
cut it, Kyle.
And yeah,
cut it.
He can't. He's not here.